imposters, not any of these other so-called denominations that are proclaiming this one true Jesus, or maybe this Jesus that's a god among other gods, or maybe he's just a good guy or a prophet. Paul says, we're preaching the one true Jesus, the Son of God, that came and died on the cross for you. And that's the only one that we should be listening to. So as we continue to consider some thoughts, Paul then talks about this idea of a different spirit. Now bear with me for a moment as we go through this, because sometimes this can get a little wishy-washy with particular religions. And what I always find interesting is how different individuals can get up speaking different things, saying they're led by the same spirit. The Bible tells me that God is not an author of confusion, but yet you have many different people proclaiming many different doctrines by the one true spirit of the Bible. That's not what the Bible says. Those individuals that saying they're being led by the Spirit today, but another individual being led by the Spirit doing completely opposite of what the individual here is teaching. Paul said there's only one Spirit. We look at Ephesians chapter 5, one faith, one Spirit, one God, one baptism, one Jesus, right? And so with that, Paul says not only is there one Jesus, but there's one Spirit by which the testimony is given that we follow. And the same thing is true today. There's only one Spirit. That Spirit given the inspiration through the Bible in which we follow today, that which leads us into all godliness, the one that we find in the Bible. There's no one whispering or talking in our ear. We're not under first century rule anymore, nor do we have the miraculous taking place anymore, but we have the one Spirit of the Bible that all teaches us the same thing. So how can you have one Spirit teaching a particular denomination over here that teaches something completely different and contrary to this particular doctrine? Brethren, you can't. Because that's not who God is. He didn't send His Son to die for many different churches, to be part of many different churches. He sent His Son to die to be the church of which He's the head. And when we understand that from the standpoint of what Paul is saying here, that they're so soon removed from what they've already been taught, Paul said it's easy for you to be deceived when the serpent comes slithering in the door because you're willing to listen to any wind that blows. And brethren, I'll tell you, turn on the televangelists today. Some of them are pretty convincing. I mean, after all, you know how much I love Joel Osteen. Makes you feel good, doesn't he? Bats his eyes, holds up his Bible, and then preaches anything but the gospel of Jesus Christ. He tells you how to feel good about yourself, but doesn't tell you what you must do to be saved. But yet he'll claim and stand up and proclaim that he's being led by the Holy Spirit. You see, we have to be careful. Paul says there's many individuals, those individuals who are just trying to deceive us, to pull the wool over our eyes and lead us in other directions. You see, because sometimes if you think about it, the gospel is not popular in society today. Case in point, I just happened before I walked out into the lobby this afternoon, picked up my phone because I had a Fox News alert thing, so I picked it up and was reading it. And there's a church that's being opened in Santa Cruz, California. Community church that's opening and building a new worship center along with a brewery. And with that, they say, we're going to sell the proceeds from the brewery and whatever we get from the brewery, we're going to give to Planned Parenthood. So let's take alcohol money and give it to those who are offering abortions. Those who are proclaiming this so-called Jesus, right? The one full of love and grace and truth. The one who doesn't supersede or call out anybody's sins. But this is the individual that says this is a good thing. You see, so there are many individuals that are coming in to deceive. Those, the same individual, the same quote-unquote pastor, that's saying he's being led by the Spirit and it shouldn't be an issue. It's not the Spirit I read about in the Bible. Paul then goes on to talk about not only the Spirit, but also the doctrine. A different gospel that people are proclaiming. Many people proclaim a different gospel today. Two extreme views of the gospel are often preached. One is salvation by works, that we're saved by meritorious deeds, and another salvation by faith alone. All you have to do is believe. Two different opposing doctrines. And in that, to illustrate, you consider the subject of baptism. Some teach that baptism without faith saves. Others teach that faith without baptism saves. Jesus taught that both faith and baptism saves because they go together. So when you have all of these different opposing doctrines, it makes individuals in the religious world today or those who are seeking out the true church of Jesus Christ scratch their head and wonder why it's so confusing. One preaching one doctrine, one preaching one Jesus, one preaching one different spirit. And we wonder why so many are continuing to turn away from the true gospel of Jesus Christ, because people can't seem to figure it out. But yet again, God is not the author of confusion. Simple in its plan, easy to follow, if we simply do what it tells us to do, right? We can break it down, we can pull it apart, but really when you get down to the crux of the matter, if you simply read it for what it says, it tells us exactly what we must do to be saved. It tells us exactly who we must follow concerning the one true church. It tells us what family of which we should be a part of. But the world makes it so confusing and so difficult. And I've had individuals sitting down in Bible study say, "Larry, I don't know what to believe. You teach one thing, they teach a different thing. I've sat in this church and this church and this church, and I don't know what person to follow." I said, "I don't want you to follow any person. I want you to follow Jesus, the one that we read about in the Bible. The true gospel is that which the apostles proclaimed." Remember, the institution or the inaugural aspect of the church being beginning in Acts chapter 2. And as you see these individuals beginning to be converted, it talks about how they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, breaking of bread and in prayers, following that which they were being taught from the apostles, the ones who were sent of Jesus Christ to continue to teach and preach and to grow the church of Christ. Paul said, these are the individuals that came in and taught you, the ones that showed you the true way of Jesus Christ. Why don't you follow them? They've proven who they are. They've proven who they are through the miraculous. They've shown you they've been sent of Christ. So Paul said, why aren't you following them, but yet following someone else? So when you see all the divisiveness and things that are taking place in the church here, the gospel, Paul says, contains facts that we can believe. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul, again speaking to the church at Corinth, said, Christ was the one that was crucified for your sins. That's the Christ you should follow. He said he was the one in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 4 that was raised from the dead. We have witnesses to prove this fact, that this is the one Jesus to whom you should follow. And this is the same Jesus that's going to come and execute judgment. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and following. And see, Paul also says that this particular gospel contains commands in which you should obey to follow Jesus. And with that, we see its simplicity. Paul says, you have to believe in Jesus Christ. You have to repent of your sins. You have to confess your faith in who Jesus Christ is. And you have to be baptized of your sins. None of this has changed. None of this is different. But man is the one who washes it or sugarcoats it and makes it something other than what God has given to us in His simple and divine word. The gospel contains those wonderful promises of which we must receive the same thing as they did. So if you look at it in retrospect, if you look at the first century church compared to the religious world today, if you look at the church in Corinth compared to the religious world today, you see a lot of the same problems taking place. So the same warnings Paul is giving to the church at Corinth are the same warnings that we heed today, and that we have to test whether those things are so. Paul went on to say, if anybody preaches anything other than what we proclaim to you, you can test those spirits. You can call them out and ask them what they're teaching. The warnings against receiving a different Jesus, Spirit, and gospel is certainly a timely one today. Because I think at last count, and this was several years ago when I looked, there are 22,000 different denominations. 22,000 different denominations, all teaching different things. Like Brother Marshall Keeble used to say, if you can find it in this book, I'll join it. But if you can, I'll stick to the one Jesus made, the one that Jesus died for, the one that He built. The world tries to pull us apart and tear us apart and divide us. The devil's good at those things. And with that, to bring in charlatans and people speaking your blessings and all this money's going to be bestowed upon you. And sounds good in and of itself and on the surface, but it's nothing the Bible talks about. And it's always interesting as I see these televangelists, the ones that are receiving all the money, the ones that are living in the big houses, wearing the nice suits, flying on the private planes, driving the big fancy cars. as the rest of their flock suffers? That's not the Jesus I know. The one good thing about the gospel of Jesus Christ is not only does it save, but God makes it easy for us to follow it. He's not trying to confuse us or get us to question anything or to be concerned. He's simply saying, I'm laying all the facts out for you to follow. Through my inspired word, which will make you complete to salvation, everything that you need to know is contained in this one book. But yet there are particular denominations that come teaching something different, proclaiming something else with another book or a quote-unquote gospel, saying you must follow these things. Brethren, we just simply need to stick to His Word, and with that, the Word saves us. Follow the simple instructions and do what God tells us to do, and those are the things that lead us to heaven. It's not hard. We need to stop making it hard. Like my dad used to say, do what I told you to do the first time, and there won't be trouble the second. The gospel is the same way. If we do what God tells us to do the first time, there won't be any trouble the second time. So tonight, if you've been led astray, if you've listened to something other than which men's preached or proclaimed or you've read in the Bible, we certainly want to know. If you have questions, anything about that which we do here and how we worship and how we lay out the plan of salvation, we want to sit down and we want to open up the Word of God together. And with that, we can find the answer that God gives us. But if you want to follow the simple plan of salvation, that opportunity is afforded tonight to you. So if you're ready to obey the gospel, that which Paul also laid out for the church in Corinth, you can do that. If you're ready to repent of your sins, confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and put them on in baptism, Acts 2:38, just as they did in the first century, just as we must do today, then you become a member of the church because the Lord adds you to it. If you're a child of God who's struggling, if you need some help, if you need some prayers, whatever the case is, we want to help you and we want to encourage you as together we stand and as we sing.